Kid Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Welcome back.
You either go to church.
Probably the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, August 23rd, 2023. So sort of picking up from yesterday to address the issue of apparent, you know, controversy, the alleged or apparent contradictions in the Bible. I think usually what we have to do is investigate further. Usually when we see that, it's an invitation to investigate further. And, you know, it's always interesting when there are controversies that are raised that people start to indulge in, perhaps, that were not their own. It's not a thing that I found organically. And I have a list of alleged or apparent Bible contradiction, so I'll mention my favorite maybe in a minute. But you know, I'm using Chuck Missler's How to Avoid Deception talk from Strategic Perspectives 2015 as a sort of a jumping off point on how to address some of this stuff. We played a couple of those clips. He talked about biblical nuances, the absence of synonyms, biblically speaking, and you know, that should pique our curiosity. That's God's way of saying, you know, basically in contemporary vernacular, Easter eggs in the Bible. That's a terrible, terrible, terrible way to put that. But hopefully you understand what I'm saying. So what I was saying at the end of the first hour of today's broadcast was in addressing this issue for those who would have us believe, because usually for people it's some kind of influence that came from somewhere outside themselves. They weren't sitting down reading scripture. In fact, the fact that they weren't, I think, goes right back to the garden, you know, and the Genesis 3, 4, and 5 kind of thing. Genesis 3 verses 4 and 5. You know, first it's the question, yea, hath God said? And if you understand that, it's a thing that I've been talking about for weeks and months and longer because of where we are. These broadcasts are sounding like Sunday morning things more and more because that's where we are. The Hellenizing influence from antiquity, I think there's a reason that the Bible makes the distinction between Jew and Greek. And it's that same old Hellenizing impulse. You know, if you go to the Wikipedia entry for Western esotericism, you'll see kind of what I mean. And the, you know, the Hellenizing influence from antiquity that I think stems from Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel. God interrupts that. They were going to redo Genesis 6, only better. And God interrupts that. And ever since then, there have been these cycles where, you know, we're going to finish the great unfinished work. And that's, you know, that was what was going on when Jesus was born. And he interrupted it then. And it has been rekindled since then. Speaking of that talk that I mentioned, Chuck Missler, Kabbalah and the Rise of Mysticism, that's an interesting journey or an interesting chapter, I suppose, in this discussion as well. the history of that over the last 2,000 years or so. And how, you know, I would say that what he describes correlates directly to Romans 9, 10, 11, particularly Romans 11, 25. I would not have you ignorant of this mystery, brethren, that a partial hardening of the heart of Israel has happened until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. That's an interesting thing to say. So praise God that their hardness is our salvation. But what does the fullness of the Gentiles mean? Sounds like an ark kind of moment to me. And aren't we seeing now with the transgender stuff and everything, a push basically that we've heard about from, you know, I've read from Francis Fukuyama's Our Post-Human Future, Consequences of the Biotechnology Revolution. These guys talk about designer babies and, you know, Huxley and Bertrand Russell and all those guys used to write 100 years ago about that these designer baby methods would be preferable to what they called the natural method, which sounds super creepy to me to say those kinds of things. But we're seeing that now. Push to mix the genders. I mentioned in the first hour the TT Response group did a presentation, a panel yesterday, I think it was, confronting and exposing the LGBTQI agenda in Trinidad and Tobago. Great panel. And one of the panelists mentioned, you know, how we've been softened up for this over the decades, talking about the unisex clothing initiative decades and decades ago. Men used to have haberdasheries or whatever. You know, I was born in Libby, Montana, and Libby used to have Don's Men's Store. It was a great store. Locally owned store. Fantastic stuff. Those were the good old days. No more Don's Men's Store today. Can you find one of those? You know, we have tailors that come from other countries that work at some of the department stores that are also going away now. And they will tailor suits that are mass produced in other countries and sent here to be tailored to fit men, if men even wear suits anymore. And we can get into the controversy of the necktie and stuff like that. It's a Masonic symbol, isn't it? Sure, but, you know, not to the innocent, not to the profane. But men used to dress. I mean, look at pictures, photos, and videos from 100 years ago. Men, young men, even what we call boys, were dressed well. Ladies were dressed well. And now we're commingling things. It's a dehumanization process, is what it is. We are clamoring to be dehumanized in ways we don't even realize. I've talked about the PGA. Speaking of that, what's his name? You know, his book just came out among the books yesterday, right? Billy Walter's book came out. I was thinking that Mike and I should do – we've been talking about doing a – whiskey, cigars, and maybe golf kind of thing. I think it would be fun and probably have a cult following. We could do that. That would be one of the things that we could discuss, Billy Walter's book and his, I don't know, the Phil Mickelson conversation and stuff. But I'm hesitant. It's a Romans 14 thing. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves, maybe. So who knows? We'll see. But you know, that's one of the things that we've seen, these kinds of things. Anyway, we see this push to basically to dehumanize people in ways that we don't realize. and everyone was clamoring for it. You know, speaking of the PGA and LPGA, I've talked about how the LPGA stands for Ladies Professional Golf Association. It's not like the WNBA. Ladies is a distinction from women, is a distinction from female. And the further down that slope we go, the more dehumanizing it is. And then when you start saying that, you know, gender is a social construct, that's extremely dehumanizing. If we have to be inventing pronouns, the most politically correct pronoun is it. So are we all going to call each other it? Very dehumanizing. So it's interesting to watch as we sort of spiral into oblivion, it seems. Anyway, to finish the list that I mentioned in the last hour, I said I'd mention the other two. When someone tries to have us believe that, you know, maybe there are some things left out, I use the Book of Enoch, for example, as just one example of when this conversation arises. Maybe some stuff was left out. Why wasn't the Book of Enoch canonized? There was a reason. It did not pass the litmus test or the sniff test for canonicity, specific test. But, you know, for those who would have us believe, and like I said in the first hour, this is something that always seems to come to people from somewhere else. It's not something they were reading their Bible, which, again, that's a clue. Ding, ding. Maybe if you were doing that, you wouldn't be worried about this. Like I said in the first hour, the passages that come to mind, just as a prerequisite before I finish the list of three things that come to my mind, biblical passages. John 21:25, and there are also, you know, those who say, well, how come we don't know more about Jesus' life and what we should emulate? We know enough, and he even said so. John 21:25, though, says in the King James, there are also many other things which Jesus did, that the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. And those who think that what we have is not sufficient, 2 Timothy 3:16-17 seems to settle that issue. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that last one, you know, and in addition to that, I would say Luke 6:46, and in the King James it says, Jesus speaking, he says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Why are we looking for other stuff? So the last one before that, 2 Timothy 3:16-17, is particularly interesting. If you read all of the chapter for full context, precisely relevant. The church today is captivated by a false or familiar spirit of error, which is about to lead or is leading to the apostasia, the great falling away. 1 Timothy 4, 2 Thessalonians 2, etc., etc. The church is being seduced or tested to see or prove who is faithful, who will endure, who will overcome, who is, you know, separating the wheat and tares, sheep and goats, who's all in and who's all talk and not much walk. So anyway, to finish the thought, for those who would have us believe that maybe there are things omitted from the canon of Scripture, I would ask, number one, have you brought the matter before God in prayerful consideration? Number two, refer to number one. But how have you come by this belief or opinion? And is it possible that a spirit of error is seeking to lead you astray? With the old, you know, the empirical evidence, the radical empiricism and skepticism of old, you know, the Pyrrhonist mindset, basically. Pyrrho picked up where Plato left off, the Platonic Academy. And then from there, you have Sextus Empiricus and the empirical method, where we deny the, you know, God's involvement, the Holy Spirit particularly, and his miraculous intervention into circumstances and things. If you can't prove it with your lying eyes and ears, then, you know, it must not be real. And that has given rise to scientism today, because the scientific method is not followed religiously, so to speak. It's used to come to conclusions. And like I said, one of the best entries in that discussion is the beginning of Chuck Missler's talk, Kabbalah and the Rise of Mysticism. He gets into some of those things that what I would call scientism has been bent on validating. And, you know, for that matter, we get into the Copernican Revolution and the flat earth discussion and all these kinds of things. Anyway, number one, have you brought the matter before God in prayerful consideration? Number two, refer to number one. But how have you come by this belief or opinion? And is it possible that the spirit of error is seeking to lead you astray? And finally, number three, refer to number one. But can you honestly say that you have mastered what you've already been given, i.e. scripture? Because if you haven't started there, why are you looking for other things? We all know, you know, if you've had children, we all know what this is like. Start here, start here, start here. I gave you this. Have you mastered this yet? Which reminds me of Luke 12, 42 and 43, 47, 48, those passages which read in the King James, and the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes." What? Corporal punishment? "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." So why aren't we just starting where we are? And it's funny, people who say, well, you know, maybe some things were left out. Really? Do you feel like you've mastered what you've been given already? Really? So you've dispensed with the translation controversy. You feel like you've waded through that controversy. You've investigated Westcott and Hort. You looked into Alexandrinus, Sinaiticus, Vaticanus versus Textus Receptus and gone through all of that stuff. You know, investigated Tischendorf and you have, you know, settled that matter in your mind and where these things came from and what has been produced since then and, you know, on back from there actually. And you've dug into the Hebrew and the Greek and maybe the Aramaic and whatever. You've done all of that already? It's amazing. Usually, it's not that discussion, if you know what I mean. Usually, it's something that is whispered in somebody's ear who's probably not reading their Bible at all to begin with. They're off watching YouTube videos on sparkly things. So that's enough on that, I think. We'll get back to the Chuck Missler thing when we come back. Another clip or two from Chuck Missler, How to Avoid Deception. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
My friends feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me
of apparent contradictions that I have sought out over the years. Maybe I'll mention a couple of them. Maybe I'll mention my favorite. I think it's a great example, and it's, you know, it's just kind of common sense sometimes. We want to get dogmatic. We want to get all Albert Pike on stuff. Again, you know, that's not a way to understand God's heart, so to speak. So I want to give you another entry. Chuck Missler on the presuppositions that we shouldn't impose as a means of avoiding deception. Can we play that, please?
But that leads me to something else. It's a concept that I'm guilty of promoting among certain of us that may be a tool that you need to be sensitized to for what's coming. I'm calling it hermeneutical hygiene.
I think
kind
that's
of a fancy word. The word.
Can we want to skip to the other one, 2805 to 2856, if we can, since we have less time in this segment.
Yeah. Now, there are other traps, too. This is just a sort of an opening discussion on some of these things. Your presuppositions, every one of us bring to any subject presuppositions, presumptions, and they almost always get us in trouble. It's very, very important for each of us to be aware of our presuppositions. You don't have to abandon them, just know they're presuppositions. But it's important for us to be aware of the fact that we bring to any subject some presuppositions. Okay, let's just recognize that and make sure that doesn't interfere with our judgment horizon. And we make allowances for that. So presuppositions are one of the issues.
Okay. And, you know, speaking of that, that's good advice for life in general, because with all of the influence and persuasion that's going on, all of the psychological warfare, these presuppositions are oftentimes introduced in ways subtle, very subtle. Like I said, you know, the TT response panel confronting and exposing evil, the LGBTQI agenda in Trinidad and Tobago, one of the panelists talking about the unisex clothing agenda, I suppose, as a way of softening people up to what's happening now. And, you know, for those who would say, well, you know, I mean, you're really saying it's part of an agenda, a broader agenda. Yeah, again, go back and read all of these crazy people, you know, the outlets they're talking about, UNICEF, UNESCO, and things like that, and things coming from the UN and World Health Organization. Who started those things? Who is talking about those things? And who is the continuation of those things? Just because they play long game in Machiavellian fashion and we have short attention span syndrome doesn't mean that something nefarious isn't happening, to use a double negative. So, you know, those things get introduced in ways that are, I think, designed to and intended to be plausibly deniable, and it needs to seem like your idea or my idea, whether it's in the scriptural context, as Chuck Missler's talking about in that clip that we just played, where he's talking about not imposing our presuppositions on the reading of scripture, or in life in general. Anyway, I think it's good advice. And there are assumptions that our mind makes. I've talked about that in the past. Fred and I always used to call in whenever I would talk about that. The assumptions that linguists prey on, that they know that our mind is going to make, the leaps that we make to connect things because we want connection, we want closure mentally, and so we make assumptions and presumptions to do that, but they know that, and they take advantage of it. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Cahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paddy Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Chosen man.
Welcome back. All right, so to sort of finish the thought here. One last clip from Chuck Missler's Strategic Perspectives 2015 talk, How to Avoid Deception. This clip we'll call Hermeneutical Hygiene. This is where he gets into the specifics of what he's talking about. So can we do that, please?
But that leads me to something else. It's a concept that I'm guilty of promoting among certain of us that may be a tool that you need to be sensitized to for what's coming. I'm calling it hermeneutical hygiene. Kind of a fancy word. The word hermeneutical is just a word meaning our approach and guidelines used to interpret a text. How you treat a text is your hermeneutic. And some people may treat it allegorically, very softly, what we call a soft hermeneutic. Others are very strict, very literal, and we tend, of course, to lean that way. But in fact, if I know your hermeneutics, I can predict your eschatology. If you're willing to allegorize and be soft, you'll shift on the left side of the chart I'll show you shortly. If you're really strict and you insist upon taking it literally, you shift on the other end. And I can predict your eschatology by your hermeneutics. Okay. Now, this question of hygiene, what do you mean by hygiene? Well, that's simply your discipline. You think of hygiene in terms of maybe a diet. No, hygiene can be a lot of other things, okay? It's interesting, if for those of you who are students of the Naval Academy, it's the only course required by law. All midshipmen have to take hygiene because of some obscure law way, way back, and it's on the books, and we always joke about it because that's the only book that's the only specific subject required by law at the Academy. But anyway, hygiene. But I'm talking about hermeneutical hygiene. What on earth am I talking about? Well, first of all, if you and I were to engage in a discussion about the attributes of the Holy Word of God, I suspect we would very quickly be in agreement on some extreme statements. The attributes of the Word of God. I think we recognize the Word of God is true, right? Some of us might say it's probably the only thing that really is true. Well, I think we agree on that pretty much in the spirit of that thing, okay? I think we'd say it's infallible. How many are agreeing with me? Okay. Is it trustworthy? Absolutely. Okay. Now, we even go so far as to describe the Word of God as God-breathed. That's why the early church rejected any documents that were written under a pen name, because they felt that was not consistent with the concept of it being God-breathed. They may be interesting documents. They may be useful for study for a lot of reasons, but they're not inspired. Are we together? I think you and I are sensitive to the sanctity that we ascribe to the Word of God. How many agree with me? Okay. Now, if that's the case, we put the Word of God on a very unique pedestal. In our studies, in our attitudes, and what have you, we put it on a pedestal. I want all of us to especially be sensitive to that issue, because we're going to see it endangered from left field, and I'll show you what I mean by that. There are legitimate inferences that we can make from the Word of God. Jesus himself uses the expression, the gates of hell. So the concept of portals of some kind is scriptural. We see that in Matthew 16:18. The gates of hell shall not prevail. That's Jesus' own words. So the concept of a portal is in the scripture. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying all portals are scriptural. But we do know portals can exist because some do in the scripture. You see what I'm saying? Okay? We also learn a lot about Hades versus Gehenna and Tartarus and all that, versus Sheol, all that, in Luke 16. Most of us here have done a study of angels or whatever, and afterlife, and know that most of what we think we know about that area, most of it comes out of Luke 16. Are we together so far? That's information that's in the scripture, which gives us a measure of confidence in its authenticity and its truthfulness. Okay, so far. There's also in the scripture descriptions of what I'm going to continue to call cosmic warfare. You know, I've done a definitive text on cosmic codes. You're familiar with all of that, I'm sure. But more and more, we're going to start focusing on cosmic warfare. Because it's going to be increasing. Now, cosmic warfare is not a fabric of our imagination. It's in Daniel 10. It's not the only place. In fact, part of what I want to do is make an inventory of all the places it shows up. But that's probably the key place. When we study Daniel 10, we discover there are super personages behind the different empires that are at war. One of them spends 3 weeks trying to get through to Daniel. And he explains to Daniel, even when he finally finishes his course, he's going to fight another guy. And we get that glimpse. It's just a glimpse. But we take it from the scripture. You with me so far? Now, why am I going down this road? Because there are circumstances emerging that are going to challenge what I call our hermeneutical hygiene. And that's what I want to get across here. It's not a simple idea. We are going to discover our vocabulary, personally, you and me, we're going to have a vocabulary with a lot of new words in it. Okay? We have a vocabulary today with trillion in it. And I've yet to find any congressman or senator who can explain what a trillion is in any meaningful terms. But that's a whole other discussion. We discover now that wormholes have been confirmed scientifically by advanced math and so forth. Not only that, the experts have now concluded that wormholes are transversible as time tunnels. That's a huge, huge discovery that pervades the cutting edge documents in those fields. Very exciting stuff. Very fascinating stuff. That's going to make wormholes a common term in our vocabulary. People will be talking about those, black holes and wormholes and so forth. And people are going to talk about it as if they knew anything about it. They may know a little, but here's the danger. What they think they know is secular information. Don't confuse it with the Word of God, even though the Word of God may have some similar concepts embedded in it. And so we have portals, the concept of portals. There are books being published that are fascinating, that exhibit amazing scholarship about them. Portals. There are people that think they can detect them magnetically. And there's all kinds of literature starting to talk about wormholes and portals. Be careful. They're interesting. They're fascinating. And discoveries are being made in the secular world. Are you tracking with me here? See, do you see the danger I'm trying to anticipate here? Okay. Time travel. That's a serious thing being discussed by knowledgeable physicists, astrophysicists, advanced math people, and so forth. Those are legitimate areas for discussion. Some of what they think they've discovered may be true, but maybe it isn't. And they might be avenues for being ultimately later deceived. That's my point. Okay? So there are profane sources, not to be confused with holy sources. Those profane sources include secular speculations. You're going to encounter fascinating documents written by brilliant people that speculate implications of the wormholes and the portals and time travel. There are going to be standard stuff that will occupy the internet, and technical people will be talking about them. Great. But I want a flag flying over our masthead that we're going to exercise hermeneutical hygiene. Okay? And what I mean by that, we want, if it's pseudographica or apocrypha, these are books that are not inspired, but they're highly revered among scholars. There are some books that are extremely valuable for grammar, for vocabulary, for documenting what the rabbis believed back in the 2nd century BC, the Book of Enoch being one of them. It's not inspired. It's not inspired. It's a compilation under a pseudonym. But many people treat the Book of Enoch, or one of the books of Enoch, as scripture. Be careful. Well, they argue that one they quote from this and they quote from that. They all overlook the fact they both may be quoting from a third source, which has been lost. That doesn't prove anything that they may quote one or the other. That doesn't prove anything. That does not make Enoch an inspired book. And I'm not knocking it. It's a very useful document for if it's not misused. Don't regard it as inspired. Okay? The Book of Enoch. And I've seen writers write as and make reference to the Book of Enoch, chapter this and that verse, as if somehow that authenticates something scripturally. Be careful. It's a useful book if used properly. But it's not inspired. Dan Brown does the same kind of thing with some of his references that made his fiction books so popular. Be careful. And so I want one of the concepts I wanted to get across to the audience is a concept you probably won't hear much about because it's sort of an insider's tool, so far at least, that I call hermeneutical hygiene. What I mean is, have a discipline to take what you know from the Word of God and put that in a compartment that is inviolate. In other words, it's truth. Don't confuse it with all this other stuff, which is really fascinating and might be true, but we don't know, because it's avenues of being deceived. So I believe your survival in the forthcoming information environment that we're all plunging into will depend a great deal on your maintaining what I call hermeneutical hygiene. To put the Word of God on a pillar and make sure it stays there. And make sure the only things that accompany it there are things that come from the Word of God. Don't commingle. Don't commingle. That's why I call it hygiene. You're not commingling. You follow me? I think the term is descriptive if you follow me here.
So hopefully that is explanatory enough on that. How to avoid deception. Important. We cannot self-diagnose. This gets back to one of the things that I said that John in Tennessee appreciated over the years. I said it about 10 years ago when we really started hearing about the AI stuff and we were hearing about code, trying to write code, and we were going to do that. And I said the Bible is the only self-replicating, error-correcting code on earth and will always be that. And the point was that basically this is a book that you can put in you and it will self-replicate and it will correct the errors in us, which sort of leads to one of the alleged or apparent contradictions that is one of my favorites. Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." But in the book of Jonah, you read the story. You know, of Jonah, God tells him to go to Nineveh. Tell him yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Jonah basically says, "I don't even like those guys, and so I'm not on board with this plan. And so I'm leaving. I'm going to get as far away from God as I possibly can." And that doesn't work out so well. He ends up going to Nineveh, goes through town a day's journey. To go all the way through town was a three-day journey. Anyway, they repent. And so what is the point? Like any good father, was he capricious? Did he change his mind? He says he doesn't in his word. But the answer is no, he's a good parent like any other parent. And if you read 2 Peter 3, verse 9, you understand the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So, like any good parent, that's what we all want. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, August 23rd, 2023. Enough about all of that stuff. Maybe. Here's another alleged controversy, Romans 6:23 versus 1 John 5:17? I think the answer is Hebrews 10:26 through 31, natural versus spiritual. And then that Greek word thanatos, which is interesting. Anyway, enough about all that. Speaking of interesting things, I mentioned Billy Walter's book was released yesterday. I didn't say that yesterday, but today there are the debates, you know. That should be fun. Fox News is going to carry him. Donald Trump is not participating because everyone knows what a wonderful president I was. So that should be interesting. Tim Scott, Ron DeSantis, Asa Hutchinson, Nimrata Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy, Doug Burgum, Chris Christie, Mike Pence should be, you know, good theater. So that'll be fun, won't it? We'll probably talk about it tomorrow. You can watch it on Fox, Fox News, Fox Business Network, streamed on Fox Nation, as well as on Rumble. You see what's happening here? How basically, you know, again, speaking of the dress and the culture and the shift that's been occurring, men and women dress a certain way 100 years ago or so. Today, you know, everybody looks rumpled and disheveled. And so we have all of this alt stuff everywhere, alt flavors. And obviously the interwebs are more conducive to catering to a narcissistic or solipsistic generation. Narcissistic, it's all about me. Solipsistic, because after all, I'm the only one who exists, right? I mean, come on, right? Anyway, vapid, vacuous, perhaps, but that'll be going on tonight. I think it starts at 9 p.m. Eastern, right? And so I'm sure we'll have much fodder. The Pony Show, the first GOP debate, should be very interesting. What else? I think that's about it for today's broadcast. There were several news stories that I saw that were, I think, predictive programming. I won't get into those. There's the Maui thing. We probably should get back to at some point because of its broader implications, and the fires because of the broader implications. But that's the end of today's broadcast. So I hope it was informative. I hope it was edifying. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBN Readers 2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBN Readers 2023 at antelopehillpublishing.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.